Blog Talk Radio.
As the 1970s continued, so did Maryland's near misses. Lefties Terps always had talented players like Albert King and Buck Williams, but they kept falling short of winning the ACC Tournament Championship. In 1983, that would change with the arrival of Len Myers.
My senior year, Lenny used to come over as a skinny, raggedy kid from right around College Park, Northwestern High School, and he'd wait for an opportunity. If we had nine guys and we needed one, he'd play. You could tell that he was going to be a good player, but was not a great player.
The recruiting gurus didn't rate Len Bias as a top 10 or 20, but you could tell Lenny had some incredible abilities, and Lefty would always snicker. Lefty knew he was getting somebody exceptional.
He came to College Park as a real diamond in the rough.
I love to jump. That's some of my games, jumping and dunking. I love to jump. It's something I did ever since I was in junior high school.
At first, he had a hard time fitting into Lefty's system, and Lenny bristled at first and complained about trying to get onto the court.
We both would sit on the bench and we would kind of ponder where we're going to transfer to. I know Lenny had mentioned that NC State Coach Bob Ono was interested in him and had been talking to him, but we never left.
When he came back his sophomore year, there was a huge difference. He really began to train his body. He started to get cut. He started to have muscles that weren't there before, and he started to really look good.
You've seen photographs of him. He was big, wide shoulders, narrow hips, huge arms. He was probably at that point the most magnificent physical specimen I had ever seen in my life.
He would dominate my practices so much I had to take him out and say, "Let him sit down. You know, we can't score on you and we can't stop you, so just sit down."
And I know because I was on the second team and we couldn't stop him.
He was that good. He was, you know, pretty affable young man, very easy going, but on the court, he was a demon.
He came down the tunnel, he would slap the hands of the people who had their hands up, but he was like a volcano ready to erupt.
He was the guy that could do it all. I mean, he had the great jump shot.
Len Myers,
he put it on the floor. He could defend. One of the best shot blockers in the country. He just got better and better every year until he became the best player in college basketball. He was really a bigger, stronger, more advanced version of Michael Jordan.
So much so that in Maryland, no one wanted to be like Mike. They wanted to be biased.
I was biased, my friends were biased, we were all biased, we were all a little bit biased.
I think he's the best player in the country because I'm a little biased.
We were all biased. There's only been a few players in the history of the game that are great leapers who also have a soft touch. David Thompson certainly would be one of those. Julius Erving would be one of those. Michael Jordan was one of those. And Lenny certainly had that.
Boston Celtics. Select Len Bias of the University of Maryland. There he is, Len Bias. Len was sitting by his mother. She is here with him. Len Bias, he had a great career at Maryland. Many people think he may be the best athlete.
Well, Len, you said that you really wanted to go to Boston in the draft. You've got your wish. Why did you want to go there?
Well, they're a good team, and they got a good supporting players. I can go up there and sit on the bench, or whether going and play or not, and I'll learn a lot from the players there, or learn a lot from playing myself.
So you feel that you will be able to accept the role of being a bench warmer for a while?
I guess so. I'm going to have to.
Now, you said that you have come nowhere near your full potential. Just what do you think your potential is?
Well, I think I need to improve more on my ball handling and my all-around play, but I think lastly I need to improve on my ball handling. And just keep working on my game.
To find out more about that, let's go up to Red Auerbach now in Boston.
Well, there's not much money, Red Auerbach.
Well, I don't know. They got a lot of comics out there. I'll tell you, this is a great kid. He's the guy we wanted. We got him.
Well, a lot of people are asking the question, how do you improve the best team in basketball? Is Len Bias the answer to that?
Well, he gives us a lot of support. He can play some guard. He can play some forward. He can play a power forward, a quick forward. He is the best athlete, in my opinion, in the whole draft. And he's going to really help this ball club. He knows that. Is Lenny Bias going to take the place of a Kevin McHale or Larry Brady? He knows that. Except a little
Yo, yo, how's everybody doing out there tonight? Once again, as you guys may already know, this is Peter Richardson. I'm the sole owner and creator of Saving Our Athletes Respectfully. And for you guys who don't know, SOAR is a faith-based organization that has prepared today's athletes as well as yesterday's athletes for HPO. That's what I call high priority occupations. Now, what you guys just heard was a little brief intro of Len Bias. If you guys didn't know, Len Bias was one of the greatest athletes to ever play the game of basketball. He was during the Michael Jordan era. I mean, the guy, from what you just heard, he was really superb. I mean, he was, in my opinion, he was what you call the modern day LeBron James. I mean, because he was 6'7", 220. I mean, had a good jumper. I mean, He could dunk the ball. He could dunk on you. He was real fast, really legit. I mean, from whenever I see LeBron James, I mean, this was just like Len Bias. I mean, that's what he did. So today, I want to conclude Black History Month by tying in two athletes that I feel like changed the game. Not only the game, but the game of life. I mean, you got Len Bias. Well, hands down, probably the best college player to ever play the game of basketball. But not only in that era, you have who we all know, who we all want to be like. I want to be like Mike. I mean, so then you got Len Bias, you got Michael Jordan. Okay, so let me back up for a minute. I was originally going to talk about business etiquette today, but it just dawned on me that I was like, why not tie these two together? Because I feel like they both have changed history. And if you didn't know, it was on June 19th, 1986, 25 years ago, University of Maryland basketball star Len Bias died of cocaine intoxication. But prior to that, let me tell you, the Boston Celtics had just drafted him. They had just won the NBA championship. Then Len flew up to Boston Garden for the draft and appeared at a press conference where there were something like 25 TV cameras around him for the signing. I mean, we can all only just imagine what that was like. He had also just signed a multi-million-dollar shoe contract with Reebok, He was also, and as I already said before, he was also the biggest college star of his time. So that's how I'm gonna play this part. I mean, this guy was potentially the biggest. I mean, he was the almighty back in the day. Everybody, he was the big physique. Couldn't nothing take his pride. Couldn't nothing hold him down. But on June 19th, 1986, all that changed. I mean, some little white powder just knocked him straight off his feet, but not knock him off his feet, but his family, and I want to say the whole country, because the whole country went nuts. I mean, come on, man. A 6'7", 220-pounder getting knocked off his feet by some little white powder? I mean, it threw the country for the loop. I mean, I was just born in October of 1986, so as you already know, I was not an expert in that area. I'm still not an expert in that area, but I'm just telling you, out of a lot of reading, what I got out of this is, and this was also during the Ronald Reagan era. In my eyes, Bias became the poster child for Ronald Reagan. I mean, responding to the outpouring of grief and fear, Congress promptly passed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act in 1986. I mean. Now, I think they had good intentions on passing the act, but as far as acting on the types of crimes and the people that they're going after to try to stop the drug war, I think could have been somewhat avoided. I mean, instead of stopping like the trafficking and all the drugs crossing the border, they wanted to focus on the inner city kids. I mean, the petty crimes, you know. The little sacks, the everyday type of crime, instead of going after the big dogs. But So you got Len Bias on one hand, big superb athlete, clean cut guy, never dug drugs in his life. Then he ends up getting drafted. 2 days after he gets drafted, does cocaine for the first time and end up collapsing and dying. Then on the other side, you got MJ. I wanna be like Mike, who goes in. So everybody knows the story. Here's the game when he shot his freshman year in North Carolina, goes up, plays for the Bulls, wins 6 championships, win all these MVPs. And now has shoes that's out over, what, $160 to $200 a pop. I mean, I ain't going to say that's economically right, but, I mean the guy is basically an icon. He took Nike and branded himself. I mean, now not only when you think of Nike, what do you think of? You think of Jordan. Now, you don't want to go and go get no Jordans. You don't want to ask your mom or your daddy for some Jordans. You don't go stand in line. You don't go ask your mom and daddy for some Nikes. You don't go stand in line at 3 o'clock in the morning at Foot Locker or Foot Ass and go for some just for some Nikes. No, you want to go for some Jordans. You know what I mean? And particularly inner city neighborhoods. I mean, you're not really nothing. You might got on a tall tee, maybe some khakis. As long as you got some J's on your feet, you're good to go. So that's why I'm saying Jordan, he changed the game. Not only did he change the game of basketball, but he changed the game of life. You know what I mean? So that's how I want to tie these two together. Even though these two both came out of college around the same time, one guy died, one guy lived. I mean, my heart goes out to the Bias family and all his families and friends. But if you really sit back and look at what really happened, when you look at the bigger picture, what really happened, because us as African Americans, I mean, that's who do we cling to? Who do we think about? Who are the most people that when we're growing up, who we want to think about? You know, we think of Emmitt Smith. We think of Troy Aikman. You know, we think of the Scottie Pippen. You know, we think of these sports figures. So what better way to try to get across to some people than through sports? I mean, male sports. Because I really believe if you want to get across to some males, you know, you know what's the best? Every wife, every girlfriend knows when not to mess with their husband or boyfriend. That's on a Sunday during football or during March Madness. I mean, come on, we love our sport. So with that being said, during the Reagan era, I really feel like that was a pretty good idea because, I mean, not only did it catch us, our attention as the African-American society, but it caught our attention as the worldly attention. You know, you got the DARE programs, then you got the Anti-Drug Abuse Act in 1996. I mean, you finally got somebody doing something that's going to benefit our society. Yes, I know on the other hand, it got a lot of damage. On the other hand, the prisons and everything did fill up because prior to 1986, the prisons was overpopulated by the whites. But then after 1986, the minorities surpassed the whites in the prison system. So, you know, there's always two sides to every story, but if you want to look at it on the positive side, it did help us as people. Because from my understanding, back in the day, drugs was just for recreational use, especially down there in Washington, D.C. area. You know, to do some cocaine or smoke some weed in front of some people really wasn't that big of a deal, as long as you was taking care of your business. So, with that being said, it almost took the death of a superb athlete to realize how big and how powerful that them drugs could actually be. So let me get back to you here. So then you got Len Bias who actually died, and I'm not saying that I'm happy that he's gone, but for someone who could die 25 years ago and still affecting people today, I would call that a blessing. You can't put a hand count on how many lives that this guy has changed. So with that being said, I'm gonna let that marinate on your head for a little bit. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and let you listen to some Eminem. Lose Yourself for a quick second. I'll be right back after the break.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the free world, 313. Forget the free world, 313. Ha ha, Eminem, yeah. Hey, that 8 Mile, I'm telling you, that Eminem did his thing on the 8 Mile. The soundtrack and the movie. That's what you call one hustling brother for you right there, man. But anyways, back to what I was talking about. Lynn Bias, Michael Jordan, how they both contributed to society. One living, one dead. I mean, I elaborated on Lynn Bias's the tremendous death. It was such a tragedy to the sports world and us to an African American community. But at the same time, you cannot put the number on how many lives that he has saved. I mean, you don't know. I mean, I can't even imagine how many times or how many athletes or how many coaches have brought up this guy's name just whenever mentoring or talking to an athlete. I remember specifically I was in the sixth grade and this guy, I was at a pep assembly, and this guy had asked us, did we know who Lynn Bias was? I'm like, no, man, ask me about MJ. I want to be like Mike. But anyways, not one person raised their hand. But the guy who answered the question was my mentor to this day. He was my father figure growing up. His name was Doyle Rowland. I still remember this to this day. It's crazy that I still do. But he raised his hand, and he said that Lynn Bias was a high-round draft pick, best college player to ever live, tried cocaine for the first time, and died. And just with that coming from him, that really made me realize how serious drugs was. I mean, because, you know, I wasn't raised in a great area. I mean, I wasn't raised with a white picket fence. I also didn't have the worst of conditions growing up, but it also was not the best. But I was around drugs every single day of my life as I was growing up, and it took it for me hearing it from my mentor, father figure growing up, Doyle Rowland, for him to have so much passion behind it to really realize, you know, that this was for real. You know what I mean? So, then you got Michael Jordan on the other hand winning all these championships. And let me tell you what that displays. That displays hard work, dedication, and consistency. If you work hard and you're dedicated and you be consistent in what you want, you can get what you want as long as you are willing to put in what you want to get out of it. You know what I'm saying? What Michael Jordan did, this guy worked hard. He was fearless. This guy, I mean, he was competitive. Everything he was competitive in everything that he did, and not only. Then after his father passed, he was like, "Well, I just ain't got no love for the game." So he went from playing professional baseball. Come on, how many people that you know that's competitive enough that can do that? That can go from one professional sport to another. Let me remind you. Let me back up. Well, besides Bo Jackson and Prime the Time Deion. Besides them, I mean, you really don't hear that every day. So what Michael Jordan teach Michael Jordan, he taught us how to be consistent. He taught us how to be great. He showed us how to be great, you know, winning all those championships. And let you know, it's not only really about winning, it's about being a team player. You know, he took a mediocre team into a great team. And whenever he went to go play baseball, I mean, he kind of proved the point on, okay, you know, okay, it was really because of the Bulls. But then it's not really because of the Bulls. He was just that final piece of the puzzle that the Bulls needed. You know, so okay, then you got Glenn Bias and you got Michael Jordan. They both contributed to society superbly. So that's how I wanted to conclude this Black History Month on two athletes, one living and one dead. One just turned 50, you know, and big ups to Michael Jordan. I mean, this guy, he's the main man. I mean, there's no other like him. So I just want to say thank you to Michael Jordan. Thank you to Lynn Bias. Thank you to Lynn Bias' family, to the University of Maryland, University of UNC, North Carolina, the Chicago Bulls. I want to give a big ups to everybody out there. Shout out to all the hustlers, all the go-getters. And I just want to tell everybody, just keep your nose clean. Don't just stay diligent. Stay positive, and dreams can come true. So that's why I'm gonna leave it with you with that. And I'm gonna let you hear my theme song, Nicki Minaj with Rihanna. I came to win. I know y'all really don't want to hear me sing, but you can catch me again here next week, same sort of time, 10 o'clock. It'll be more the beginning of March, and this weekend we're going to go see my mom's. I'll be in Oklahoma this Tuesday, and for the people that are in Lubbock, I got the Room of Champions Convention, abbreviated ROC, because I believe the men, we are the rock. Whenever we start, we the rock of our family, so I believe if we get our men right, everything else goes downhill. The Room of Champions Convention will be March 30th at 5 o'clock at the Praise Center here in Lubbock, Texas. So, I mean, if you're in the Lubbock area, please feel free to come by. Please RSVP. My number is area code 806-319-0555. All righty. This is my time to visit sounds. I'll see y'all. I'll talk to y'all next week. And then until next week, everybody, don't forget to dream and to keep your nose clean. And I'll see you next week at 10 o'clock.
I came to win, to fight, conquer, decide, came to win, to fight,
and play.